I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We are live at Flowery Branch inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. What did Raheem Morris have to say to us today in regards to his team? Is there a little more extra pressure on him to deliver a win this Sunday? You're going to hear what he had to say coming up. Stay tuned for the entire interview here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mark Zeno in for Mike. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man, hanging out, and we've been having a good time. What did you take from Raw? What's the one thing you took from him? Because there was a lot. What was the one thing you took from Raw? Because a lot of people are discussing on social media, hey, I heard him say this. There are guys who said, you know what, you guys asked all these questions. I felt like I didn't get enough from Raw today. I wanted him to say this or that. What did you take from the interview?
Commitment to the run. It's important. Understanding that in order for this team to be effective and for Michael Penix to be effective, and that's, he didn't say it directly, but it is a direct correlation to quarterback success. Let's look at the team we're playing. Okay, the last 3 years with the Giants, okay, they had no running game. They had no offensive line, and he had nowhere to go, and he couldn't win it all on his own. Daniel Jones finally gets an offensive line and a running back worth a stink. Not that Saquon Barkley wasn't, but gets a running game worth a stink, right?
Right.
Where they can run the football against anybody they want, and his life gets a whole lot easier. It's crazy how a lot more dudes are open when you have to respect the run. It's crazy when they have to play a lot more zone when you have to respect the run. It's crazy when you can't blitz as much when they have to play the run. It gets a lot easier for Michael Penix and the world that he's in. Now, are there some challenges there with the offensive line being a little bit banged up this week? Yeah, there are, but they've got to figure out a way to run the ball, not just to Bijan, but to Tyler as well. I mean, you know, there was a game earlier this year, I think it was against Washington, that they were in the fourth quarter. Tyler had like 8 straight carries. Bijan didn't even get on the field.
True.
That was road grade kind of stuff. That was, hey, we got a lead. We're gonna wear you down for the last 8 minutes of this game. Like, they have to get to those positions where they can start road grading teams a lot more and start to make themselves more effective and win the battle of time and possession.
Today, Zach Robinson, speaking to the media here at Flowery Branch, said he was asked the question about the Colts, by the way, who have the number one scoring offense, if you're not familiar, and what that means for our offense. And getting back to what you just said and what Ra told us earlier about the run game, Zach's comment was there is a heightened urgency going into this game because what he's saying is they score. We know they score, and we've got to score. Do you push your OC more this week to do exactly what you just said? This is a discussion Mike and I have been having about how much Ra is either on the headset or just in a week-to-week lead-up, like right now, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Are you pushing Zach to do those things, or is this something that plays out in the game?
I mean, look, for me to sit here and say, no, don't push him to score more is a silly thing. Of course
you want
to push
him to score more. No, but I'm saying specifically the run,
but, yeah,
because that's what everybody says we've gone away from.
I mean, some of it is down a distance, situational dependent, right? But the game plan, like, let's take notice of the first 10 to 15 plays. That's always been scripted, right?
Right.
Let's see where their heart and their head are for the first 10 to 15 plays. Now, there is a real concern for them. Can't get behind the sticks. Can't get in 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10. Got to get some positive first down yards. Well, you'll see how committed they are. Because you know what? I'm okay with run first, run second, pass third, incomplete. Okay, we punt. But, like, let's set the tone early. Run first. Like, don't sell out to the pass right away. You have these scripted plays, run them and execute them well and try to get some yards. I mean, you know, as long as we're not talking three and outs consistently here, which I think they had a bunch of in the game against New England, you know, the game is a process that unfolds, and I think they're equipped to handle it, but they've got to figure out a way to possess the ball, run the ball, keep Michael Penix upright. I mean, I'm not saying anything that isn't, you know, academic and coach speak isn't as it is, but I think everybody understands where they are. I keep going back to, like, it's not a talent issue. Sometimes it's not a coaching issue. Sometimes it is, but overall, this team is positioned to be better than what their record is. Unfortunately, they're not. I can't explain that away for anybody.
Zach also said we're continuing to find that level of consistency. We've run the ball well at times. We've thrown the ball well at times. but not necessarily both. And that's been the issue, right? We haven't had that balance in any particular game. We've done one or the other. Last week, we threw the ball really well. We scored, you know, Drake had three touchdowns. We didn't run the ball. So that's the balance that we have to find. And I don't know, guys, if we'll find it against the Colts. Look, I asked Raw about this Colts defense. It has certainly improved with their new defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo. I don't know. I don't think they're better than the Patriots. But I will say that I do think you can go into this game, unlike last week, and say we will attempt much more to run the football at these guys than we did against the Patriots. 404-726-0929. That is the number. We're waiting Xavier Watts to join us. We'll replay Coach for you so you can hear all the things that he had to say as the Falcons get ready. A couple of other things that are going on, and this is just in and around the world of football. We mentioned this earlier. Maybe we didn't. We were talking amongst ourselves, Mark. Drew Brees is signed with Fox. They are saying that he is going to take the spot of Mark Sanchez, who apparently is done for the season, and he's going to
or done forever.
Well, maybe we'll see. But he's going to be an analyst. He's going to be an analyst for Fox. Drew Brees is.
Well, that's what he always wanted. He did that for 1 year, I think. He did it for 1 year for somebody, and then got off the desk. I think it was NBC. It might have been NBC. I forget who it was. I mean, I guess he's going right into the booth to call games. Is that
that is correct? That's what they're saying.
It's going to be a listen. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of guys who could have filled that role. I'm not sure why they picked him, but can't say what it's going to be like till I hear it. I do know this much. Mark Sanchez will definitely get hired again. A lot of criminals get rehired.
Wait a minute. It's alleged. It's
alleged criminals get rehired.
Yeah, it's alleged.
Brees was with Fox before?
Yeah.
Danny tells me that it was Fox.
And look, Mark's going to get his day in court. We'll see what happens there. Meanwhile, the Braves announced two additions to their coaching staff. Jeremy Hefner was going to join the club as the Major League pitching coach. Surprised? He didn't stay the course with the staff that was in place under Snit, and Antone Richardson will serve as the first base coach. Hefner's 39 years old, spent the previous six seasons as the pitching coach for the Mets, if you're wondering, but a couple of different hires on this staff for Walt Weiss. You surprised?
No, because he's allowed to pick his own staff, and he doesn't have to pick the same staff Brian Snicker did. I mean, you know, this shouldn't surprise anybody. And it's not, again, it's not an indictment on Rick Kranitz or Freddie Gonzalez. It's not an indictment on their capabilities whatsoever. There's nothing to do with it. Coach is allowed to pick his own staff. That's part of one of the great things about being a coach is I get to pick my own guys. I mean, it happened here with the Falcons. You know, when Rock got hired, he picked his own staff because that's what the guys in charge get to do. They get to put their people around them in the way that they want, in the best way they see fit. So this shouldn't shock anybody. Shouldn't surprise anybody. Don't look at it as a bad move, a negative move, or anything like that. Just look at it as is, which is this is Walt Weiss's decision. This is what he wants on his staff.
All right. One other thing. Cardinals are placing quarterback Kyler Murray on injury reserve. Fantasy heads out there. His foot injury, he's going to miss now a minimum of, 4 weeks? So, yeah, he'll be out 4 games. And I think, and I said this to Zeno, I think, guys, this has a lot to do with the way that Jacoby Brissett has played. He just led him to a victory. He's played really well. Even in the loss that he had, he played really well. And this gives time for Kyler to heal. But I also think that, you know what? You got a guy that's playing better right now. And if this injury is bothering you, as they say it is, then this gives him an opportunity to rest him. But I think this is the end for Kyler Murray. I do not think he is going to be back as the starting quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals next year. I think he's going to be somewhere else. All right, we're going to get you caught up with the injuries. We're going to take a quick break. We're awaiting Xavier Watts. We'll play Coach for you coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. Stay there. We're live at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. Mark Zeno in for Mike, and Zeno had to make an appointment, so he's actually bailing out a little bit early. But it's all good because Xavier Watts is here hanging out with us live inside the Ticketmaster Studios. Man, what is going on? We talked to you at camp. I know how excited you were about this process. And, you know, we talked to Jesse, and Jesse was like, yeah, I'm loving what I'm seeing. And then the season starts, man, and you're having immediate impact. How do you feel about where you are right now in this rookie season? You got a couple of picks already, and, and your progression as to where you are right now, halfway through the season already.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, kind of proud of what I've accomplished so far. But, you know, always room to improve and, you know, things I want to get better at. But, I mean, you know, I've had a good start so far. You know, I'm, you know, proud and excited what I've done so far.
I guess they've told me you're like a film junkie. Is that true?
I mean, everybody watch film, but yeah, I mean, I think I do a pretty good job of studying film and breaking stuff down.
You, when I say junkie, like, is that what you do in your spare time? What does Xavier Watts do when you're not doing football, or is it always football?
No, it's not always football. You know, it's pretty much, been my whole life. So, I mean, I gotta always make sure I'm doing what I need to do, what's required of me for football. But, you know, when I get time to have my own time and just relax, I always take advantage of that too, for sure.
Xavier, let's talk about your story, man, because, I think a lot of Falcon fans have loved what they've seen from you. You bring a lot of energy, a lot of playmaking. You went to Notre Dame. Talk to us about that process, man. I mean, getting an opportunity to go to Notre Dame, a lot of people would love a chance to do what you did. It's such a prestigious program in a school. But you also know, you know, people love and hate Notre Dame at the same time. Mm-hmm. What made you want to go there? Talk about the process of getting recruited and then making a decision like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was kind of being different in terms of where I'm from, Omaha, Nebraska. There's not a lot of kids that get recruited, but when they do get recruited, they all go to Nebraska. So I didn't want to kind of follow that trend.
And they were on you, right?
Yeah, they were on me. They came in late to the party, so that was kind of another reason why I was like, you know,
I'm out.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like I said, Notre Dame's such a prestigious university. Athletics and academics is like something I couldn't pass up. So,
well, your experience there, I want to take you back, because one of the famous interceptions you had was against USC. Mm-hmm. And if you guys have never seen it, you can go Google it. But Xavier had a 100-yard pick six. Mm-hmm. Against USC. What do you remember about that game before I get into this play? What do you remember about that game?
There was a pick six before that play, which was crazy. It was the pick before that was the longest. It was like the longest Notre Dame pick six in history. And then
in the same game?
The same game. Like the next drive, I got hurt. I came back in that drive, and then I got the pick six, and I beat him by 1 yard.
Wow.
So, yeah, those back-to-back pick six. And then that sent us to the playoffs, that game. And it made us go to the playoffs.
It was incredible. So, anyway, it's a 100-yard pick six. But you stare down the USC sideline.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
And everybody at Notre Dame's like, oh, he's flexing.
Yeah.
You're literally running down the sideline, and you do this number. You can't see me, Radio World, but he turns to the USC sideline like, yeah, I'm about to score on this.
Right.
Did you do that purposely, or was that just a reaction?
No, that was on purpose.
What had happened?
Kind of just liking – it's just one of those things where you're just kind of – you just black out. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. You're just on the field. It's just like – I don't know, it just happened. I mean, it's a rivalry game. It's just a big-time game, and I'm like, hey, I just kind of sealed the deal on y'all, so I'm going to let y'all know.
Oh, man, did you? I mean, it's an incredible play. We're talking with Xavier Watts here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons getting ready for Indianapolis, guys, overseas. You been overseas?
I have. I played in Ireland 2 years ago, played against Navy, and then I did a study abroad in Italy.
Nice. You speak the language?
I do not, no. I do not speak Italian.
What was your experience like, man? Was especially studying abroad. What was that like?
Yeah, it was real. It was a good experience. So I chose like the shortest one. It was only like 10 days.
Okay.
But it was still a really good experience. I took classes with Italian students, so got to hang out with them, do schoolwork with them, and just being around, you know, a different environment, different culture was cool too.
So were you recruited by Brian Kelly originally?
I was, yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so Marcus Freeman was just there as the DC, right, or the defensive coordinator, or was he a DB's back?
He was a DC, my second year? He's either my first or second year he became DC.
Okay.
And then when Coach Kelly left, that's when he became head coach.
Yeah. And what was that like, by the way? Because, I mean, Marcus Freeman gets the job, and everybody, mm-hmm. from what we heard, like, the team was like, this is the dude we want.
Yeah, everybody was all on board of him. Coach Kelly left, and we knew.
Was that a surprise, by the way?
It was a surprise because we had just beat Stanford, and we were like getting ready for whatever bowl game. He was like, you know, hyping us up, getting ready for all that stuff, and then
out,
kind of just dipped out. Yeah, so it was crazy how that all happened. But then we knew Coach Freeman, the type of guy he was, how he was around the building, the coach he was. He was like, all right, this is our guy. Like, don't hire nobody else. So.
He's done a heck of a job. They got a really good shot to get, potentially get back in the playoffs. We're talking with Xavier Watts. You guys are physical at Notre Dame, man. You always been that cat? You always been a guy, physicality, not afraid to bring the hat and knock people out?
Yeah, like I said earlier, I mean, football has just been part of my life, my entire life. So, I mean, kind of just playing at such a young age and playing around at different positions. I never just played one position. I never just played receiver, quarterback. I played O-line. I played D-line. Like, I played a whole bunch of different positions. So it kind of just molded me into the player I am today.
Tell us what you think about what's going on with our squad, man. I mean, we're in this rut right now. We're trying to find a dub. We got close last week. Tell me what you think about Indy and what you're seeing.
Yeah, Indy's a good team. They're really well coached. Their offense, I feel like they're a simple offense, but they're effective at what they do. I mean, they're really disciplined. They got playmakers. Daniel Jones is doing a good job. Jonathan Taylor is obviously pretty good back. Tyler Warren's a good tight end. Receivers are good, too. So, I mean, they're a good squad. You know, just kind of just for us, I mean, kind of just don't beat ourselves. I feel like, you know, some of the losses that we've had this year, kind of just beating ourselves, to be honest.
Yeah, it's been mistakes, right? Self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah,
no doubt. We were talking with Coach Rob about that earlier. You're going to hear that interview coming up, guys. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Speaking of quarterbacks, Daniel Jones is playing at a high level. Who's the best quarterback you faced in college prior to getting to the NFL? I know your NFL career is just starting, and hopefully it's a long one. But college-wise, man, who was the guy like you left the game and went, all right, that dude there?
Probably was Caleb Williams.
Huh.
The second time we played USC, we played them at the Coliseum, and we lost. And he was getting off. He was throwing crazy ball. He was scrambling like. It was like, all right, this dude's special. I see why he went number one. So, I mean, I probably said Caleb Williams.
What was it, arm angles? What was it?
Like, it was really everything. I mean, I was just out there, just back there covering. I'm like, D-line, get him. And he just back there, he's just buying time. And his receivers knew how to work with him. He had chemistry where he's throwing balls 30 yards down the field when it shouldn't have been that type of play. So, he just made plays, made special plays.
Yeah. You cut your braids, man.
Yeah, I did.
When'd you do that?
I cut it off like a week or two after the natty.
Cause back in college, you had the flow. You know, it's working outside the helmet. I mean, you're running around.
Yeah, I had my dreads. I had them for like 2.5 years, but after the natty, I was like, let me cut them off, do something different, going into a new chapter of my life. So just start something new.
Talking about that new chapter, real quick before we let you go, Xavier Watts joining us here. We got a challenge against the Colts, and certainly it's going to be a lot of fun playing overseas in Berlin. What is this new chapter? What's been the hardest part for you, man, so far? I mean, getting drafted is one thing, but then all this other stuff, right, that you got to deal with. And I guess they say learning how to be a professional. Is that part of this for you, or what's been the hardest part for you?
Honestly, for me, I feel like it's kind of just adjusting to my individual, like, new lifestyle in terms of Notre Dame is such a unique experience. You know, I was there for 5 years, so it played a big, big part of my life. So just kind of just being around my closest best friends I've ever met in my life, from good relationship with coaches and outside of football, having a really good relationship with the student life. And just South Bend is not the best city, but still just enjoying that as well. So just coming into a new environment of Atlanta, even though we're all the way out here, it's a little bit different, but still just I come home every day, I'm by myself.
Yeah.
I don't have no roommates or nothing, but you know, the guys in the locker room are great. But at the same time, it's just such a different dynamic in terms of
college
locker room versus NFL locker room. And just the way everything runs is different. But I think that's the biggest challenge for me so far.
Interesting. Yeah. And those bonds you build in college, man, there's no doubt. You stay with those guys forever. They always are a part of your life. But these relationships in the NFL, they're special too, because not a lot of people get to experience this thing, man.
Right.
Hey, good luck this weekend. Xavier, we love what you're doing, man, and thanks for stopping by on the show. It's always good to talk with you. Continued success, bro. Appreciate you. No doubt.
Yes, sir.
Xavier Watts, guys, here on Dukes and Bell. We got a lot more to get to. We're going to let you hear Coach Ra and what he had to say to us about the team, the offense, everything that's happening, and this trip. He's been overseas about 3 times, and he explained to us the process. Stay there. We're going to hear it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You can, you know, because there is no acclimation, and you don't want to get acclimated, especially when you're coming back to get involved and play.
And we don't have a bye week, guys, by the way. Right. We come back
right back into your schedule. So it's not like you want to go down and get acclimated and have to reacclimate when you come back. You know, all those things matter. So, like, we got a lot of smart people here, a lot of guys, like, put a lot of time into what's the best times, when do you want to go, how do you go. And then, obviously, there's some compromises met based on the things you got to do and the obligations that you have. And we did all those things. And, like, we're educating our players, you know, talking about hydration, obviously, is a big part of it when you're flying over there. You talk about the sleep schedule and how it should look when you get over there. You're talking about trying to keep them up when you do land to get them involved with a couple of things. You don't want them to go right to sleep to not be able to have a little bit of a great feel of it or a good night's sleep and things of that nature. So there's a lot of things that go into it. We had a really detailed meeting today to just kind of preview those guys on what they can expect so you kind of know. You know, how you, it's just a lot, there's a lot of different moving parts to the travel.
Is there any nuance to the actual building and the stadium and the warm-up procedure, not having been there before, not knowing what it looks like or anything like that? Does that even matter?
Zen, there's 100% a bitch part of that. How many times have we seen people go over there and slide over the field for the first half, go inside and change to the studs?
Right.
Right. So you go over there, you know, Joey has done such a great job of educating us on, you know, mandatory studs, what we're wearing, how we're wearing it,
equipment
what
manager?
We're doing. Yes, our equipment manager, Joey. Okay. And doing all those things. So that's another part of it, like, especially and the environment. You know, it was funny you mentioned it, that Mike actually brought that up today. What's the environment like in the stadium? You know, are we going to be on the silent? You know, is it not going to be in the silent? And little things like that, just kind of things you got to think about. And I was really proud of him for even asking that, like, what the environment is. Anybody played over there kind of asking the building? I said, I have. I said, it's got a little soccer feels, a bunch of cheering going on. It is loud. It is exciting. There's only a bunch of different jerseys in there. And because really it's NFL football fans, right? And, you know, obviously we always have a great following with Atlanta fans, but there's going to be different people, walks of life everywhere over there. It's going to be a different feel for you in the stadium when you go to play. And not to mention the tradition dealing with that stadium, right? You know, Jesse Owens, you know, that's a big part of our history, what we learned growing up in school and things of that nature, you know, versus Hitler, other stuff that we do know about it. And, like, that's definitely something special when you walk into that environment to get a feel for that. And, you know, Charlie Warner, our tight end, mentioned to me, he's going to be pretty cool. No, actually, it was Chris Lindstrom mentioned, pretty cool playing with, you know, a track around the field again, like high school.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Things you don't even think about, right?
Takes you back. Then the stadium, by the way, guys, obviously has been redone, remodeled, but the historic stadium that Coach is talking
about. Have you been over there?
Yes. Yes.
Have you? Where'd you go?
I was born overseas.
That is outstanding.
Yeah. So I spent
Why should I ask you? Why weren't you a part of our program?
I spent a lot of time over there as a kid. But, yes, and it's incredible, like the sights and stuff. Mike's over there. He's waiting on you guys to get – that's where he is. He's over there waiting for the game this Sunday. But – to Coach's point, like the historic stuff, if you're going over as a Falcon fan, take all of that in, man. It's really cool to experience that. Yes, you're going to the game, and our team won't, you know, we want our team to win, but that stuff is like once-in-a-lifetime stuff.
Don't you kind of make that a secondary thing? We want our team to win.
No, I'm saying, no. But
definitely take in the historic
sites.
Gotta
do it.
All right,
you want me to reverse that?
Please.
All right, let's talk about this team. And first of all, Coach, trade deadline yesterday. No trades for our team. Were you in the market to make a move?
Nothing serious enough that made it close to my desk. You know, like Terry handles a lot of that stuff. I mean, obviously, there's always calls received. There's always calls that go out. There's calls that go in about different people, different players, all that stuff. But nothing got to a point that it made it down to us in the football. We were in the mode of preparing, getting ready for, you know, obviously, to end up as close and go over here and try to get a win. But nothing that got serious that came down the hallway.
I mean, at 3-5, obviously everything feels like a must-win at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Do the players sense that level of pressure at this point?
I don't know if it's pressure. I just think it's like a must-needed. It's a kind of an urgency. It's a joyful urgency, I can tell you that much. These guys want to get out there. They want to play. They want to go out there and do it the right way. And you can tell how they played last week, and you got to take that into this week, and you got to go finish it. You got to go finish those deals. But it's definitely an urgency. There's definitely – I mean – what is not must-win in this league, really, when you think about it now? But, like, you just get to that point when you get to the 3-5 record. You got to go. And it's time to start up, you know.
We were talking yesterday. Sorry, Gukes.
No, go for it.
I mean, you know, I tried – and I didn't say this to you on Monday, but there was a lot of positive that came out of Sunday. I know it doesn't fit – like, moral victories, blah, right, was, whatever.
Well, we argued about but this. I want to be clear.
We did argue about it. Because, like, again, you know, I just look at it and I'm like, there was a lot of things that went right and – it's very tough to pinpoint a loss on one particular thing, although, you know, fans and people in the media will do that. But I felt better about the way you played overall as a whole than at some other points in the season. I know the loss doesn't make anybody feel any better, but there was some good that came out of this whole thing.
Yeah, Zeno, you know, I'm sorry I'm not here to ride your emotional roller coaster with you. You know, but you can take positives out of all of those things, you know, obviously. And
unfair.
It's not. It's just you just can't think that way, right?
Right.
Like, you know, when you have injuries, you know, like when you talk about them, it's just making excuses. And, like, I refuse to do that. Like, when people don't play, that it doesn't matter. Like, people got injuries all across the league, and your job is to go out there and win. Like, we're in the business of winning, and we got to go do that. And, like, until we get that done, it's just your job is not done. There are definitely positives you take out of every game that you play. Like, you know, like Kobe Bryant lived by, man. You learn from every time you go out there on the grass. And, like, you do. You really do. And everything that you got going on. So, like, there were some positives. And I thought the biggest thing that came out of last week was the resiliency. Because, like, we talked about, we play better when we start fast. And we did not start fast, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't start fast on offense. We didn't start fast on defense. We didn't start fast anywhere. But the resiliency from the guys to stick around and the young dudes to find a way to make a play at the end of that half to get us right back in it, to go in at halftime to be able to make some adjustments, come back out and watch those guys play and just fall short at the end, it's heartbreaking. But at the same time, those are the positive things that you kind of allude to.
Coach, what
I kind of like Kevin Zeno on the radio.
See,
I feel like
go.
I could be more personable with him.
Well, that's fine. Keep coming. Keep it coming because he keeps telling me, you know, I asked Raw.
Shut up.
Let me
starting
ask
to annoy
you.
Me, you know that?
Let me ask you. You started this. Flaws, mistakes, Coach. The flaws and mistakes that have hurt our team. I will say it's attention to detail, but you – what are you preaching? Because when you watch these games, and you guys go back and watch them, and it's the little things, right? I mean, the Michael Penix play last week, we've diagnosed it. We've talked about it. We know how it played out.
Which play are we talking about here?
The intentional grounding, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
That hurt us, you know, 10 yards, fourth and 20. We got to kick that thing.
You have to. Like,
you got to kick it.
You know, like, if anything less than that, then you're not kicking it.
Correct.
You know, because Ozeno's going to be yelling at me on Monday.
So, but those mistakes and those flaws, that's one thing Falcon fans are wondering. Like, what are you preaching week to week to help us get better in those areas? Because that feels like those are the things that are holding us back.
Yeah, you know, just got to – individual things when you're talking about. And that one right there was not like a Michael Penix full-blown error, mm-hmm. right? We're talking about, you know, an inadvertent snap. That comes when it's not supposed to come. You know, nobody's ready to block anybody, and you're trying to get the ball out to, you know, to Kyle Pitts' feet. You know, and you don't get enough on it. There's people right in your face. And all those things happen. You get intentional grounding. But you can lump those things to the same one with the intentional ground that we had at the end of the half a couple weeks ago where you don't get it towards close enough to you guys down the field when you're trying to throw a shot at the end zone in one of those ozone situations. So kind of different situations, but you just kind of detail those things up. And your quarterback, which everybody should be fortunate enough to think, is sharp enough, good enough, aware enough to know exactly what he needs to do in all those situations. And he'll get those things done. There are going to be some growing pains. There's always going to be obvious. But those are always teachable moments and the things that you get a chance to teach when you're in practice. And, you know, don't make the same mistake twice. And, you know, he hasn't done that. He's come up with a couple new ones. And there's been a couple other guys in the field that's come with a couple new guys. But we got to stop all of them. And we got to find a way to go out there and get a win.
How did you end up on Zane? I mean, obviously you move on from John Parker Romo, and we're on now kicker number 3 this year.
This has been a kind of a long thing going, right? You know, we went to the offseason, and really you kind of were hoping that the injury thing with Koo would kind of go away and really give you that strength and that power and that stuff that you can come back with. And you came back, had a great offseason. But as you know, when it comes to this kicking thing, like I talked to you about, I don't know if it was in private or on press conference, you know, this kicker thing is dedicated when it's on the field, on the grass, in those moments – you know, kicking a game winner, kicking a field goal in front of 60,000, whatever the case may be, with people cheering and everybody watching. It's like a golf shot, right? I can help the tee box when you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
But when everybody gets there, it's a different deal, right? So, like, that's when those things are found out. So when we had to make that move and go out, then we start to work out these kicks and you start that brutal cycle that you have to go through. You end up working out all these guys. So you end up knowing them all, whether it's Romo, whether it's Zane, you know, whether it's Sauls, whatever the case, Lenny Craig, all these guys, right? And then even the other guys that's been able to come in here and work out. And as you go, you know Zane was one of the guys on your hot list because he's a veteran. He's done it. He's been in those moments. You pick Romo because he was a younger guy and had a powerful leg and had some strength behind it. He came in, had a really strong game. Then he had a game that didn't go so well. We kind of went for a while until we ultimately missed a kick yesterday. So now you got to go out and try to get some experience in Zane. And somebody has done it last year with a wealth of experience going out in San Fran. Had a little bit out in Washington. You know, obviously getting him in here, you know, confident guy. I've heard about this twitch. I haven't seen it. But, you know, like to see him go out there and kind of make the kicks and get it done. You know, but you got to search and you got to find operational piece. And that's what we got to find with that.
I don't know how you didn't lose your cool last week.
I spent a lot of time working on that. I'm glad you asked.
Because.
You know how?
I have no idea.
Because how we grew up. You know, like I grew up around my pops and where he would absolutely lose his mind and worry about things that were necessary. And instead of trying to fix it and be a proactive person trying to fix it when you go about that moment. So, like, in those moments, that's why I can remain the calmest.
Coach, that was necessary.
I've already thought about those.
That was necessary.
It definitely was. But, like, if you lose your cool in that moment, you don't give you a chance to have a chance to go out there and try to find a way to win, right? The thing that had to happen was the defense had to go out and get a stop.
And they did.
They had to make them punt, and they did.
Yep.
We got them to punt, and then you get the ball, and you got to go down and move the ball. We got knocked off two really good runs, got a nice scramble play out to Drake, and then disaster strike with an offside, disaster strike with intentional grounding, and now you're in a bad spot. But I feel like you'll miss some of those moments if you worry about the things that you can't control at that moment.
Okay, wait, I got to ask.
Go ahead.
So we can expect you to be that in those – because that was an emotional moment. Like,
yeah,
for us, like as fans, we're like, all right, we need this. It doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'm
you probably heard the roar from Atlanta, but you're saying, I got to be right here.
Yeah, I'm going to be there regardless.
Okay.
I've been the biggest game, biggest moments of my career. I've been there, Super Bowls, whatever it's been. I'm going to be there because I got to be that steadying force for everybody. Like, they're emotional moments, but you got to do a lot of practice. It requires a lot of detail, a lot of things in your life to be able to work on those things to make sure you can remain structured and sound so you can give good sound decision-making and make all those things for us, you know, not just for me. For everybody out there,
I want to ask you about the injuries. It feels like we have a lot, coaches. Dukes and Bell, guys. Zeno's in for Mike today. Coach Roz with us. We're getting ready for Indy overseas in Berlin on Sunday. Get up early. Remember, we're the early game on Sunday. I don't even know where to start. I mean, offensive line, first and foremost. What about our two guards? What's the situation?
We got, you know, obviously, Big Bird, you know, he'll be week to week, like I told these guys today. You know, so he'll miss this week. Like we'll probably announce that tomorrow and do some of those different things. I know David's probably mad at me right now because we didn't put it out.
Well, this is what this is for. This is your show. This is your show.
Hold on a second. It's funny you said that because I said to him, I go, when you said earlier to me that week to week, just say he's out. You're telling us he's out. Just say it. What are we doing?
Listen, you know, I keep the drama, like, for you guys. Like, Zeno,
you guys
reason,
treat injury information like we're moving troops covertly through foreign lands.
So, Zeno, the reason you don't, because you've seen stranger moments.
That's true.
Right? You've seen a guy come in and say, I'm playing. Mm. And then depending on who that guy is, you let him play. Right? You know, obviously, there goes in other situations where you got guys you're going to protect, like a Michael Penix. Mm-hmm. Right? And you're not playing. You know, so, like, just an example. But, like, so you kind of keep those things under wraps until you see your players. You get them a chance to get out there, see what's going to happen, what's going to happen with the change. You know the history, and I try to give you the answer to the test without giving it to you. When I say week to week, I mean, I'm not expecting it, but I don't know what's going to happen. Like, I don't know the miracle of medicine, some of these different things.
Real quick, does any of that have to do with the fact that it's overseas and the fact that there's a lot of unknowns? I mean, if it was a home game, would that have changed his week-to-week status or no?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. You know, then obviously Chris. You know, Chris came out at the end of the game, and, you know, I expect him to get going tomorrow. Some things are going to have in practice, and I expect him to get going Friday. So that's why I say he's day-to-day because, like, he looks way more likely – to be able to go, and obviously he'll be traveling with us and some of those things, so you'll see some of that stuff. So,
are we looking at Stuber and potentially Hinton, Coach?
So Hinton obviously would be the guy to fill in first and foremost at the guard position, you know, but we have a bunch of different options. Obviously we have Gwinnie that can move from our center position and go play some guard for us. And then picking up Stuber was nice because you get some familiarity with a guy that's been around here before, that's going through an offseason with us, going through a training camp with us, obviously made our practice squad, was poached. And now has the ability to come back. So that is a little bit of luck, a little bit of value. Some of the things that you can bring it out, obviously, with Stuber.
Real quick, Bass, I know we got to go. It's Coach Ra. We got to ask you about Indy. What's up, Zeno?
Real quick, because now I'm going to be annoying. So as far as Bijan is concerned, and
yes.
Look, I understand what the game plan was last week, and you know we weren't going to run right into the teeth of the defense. I get that. But in the beginning of the year, you guys were dominating time possession because you were able to actually run the ball.
That's right.
Is there a sense that we have to get back to the effectiveness of the actual run game, not just putting the ball in Bijan's hands, the actual run game?
I don't know why you said that's a pain in the neck. That is absolutely – that's like a statement.
Okay.
Right? You might as well just come on a coaching staff and make it a statement.
Oh,
like,
my goodness. His head is big enough, Ron.
No. Because, like when you say these things in a press conference setting – you said in the press conference setting, right, it could be like, I disagree with them.
Right, yes. Right. Okay, I get it.
No, you know, like you want to go out there and really be able to control the clock, like we talked about from a field position standpoint. But, like, you know, carrying it with Bijan, carrying it with Tyler, it's what you want to do, right? That opens up everything else down the field. That opens up our team. That's why I called our front line our lifeline, right? No matter what we're doing, we need that thing to work. And, like, I'm not talking about just the starters. I'm talking about all of them and everything, all hands on deck. And, like, I'm just super honest probably with you guys on, like, that Patriot team is a tough team to run on.
Sure.
You go look at your loser stats, and you tell me who's run on them. and who's had a lot of success. But what you got to be and what you try to be is efficient, right? And averaging 4.4 with not enough attempts is what you want to try to get to. But how do you get to attempts? I'm trying to be honest with you, we got to play better on third down. We didn't play well enough on third down last week. And if we can find a way to play well, better on third down, then you can wrap up a couple more attempts and really get that thing cranking where you want it. And it'd never be like, hey, we just ran for 200 yards. And no, that ain't going to happen. You're going to go out there, you're going to run efficient and effective, you know, kind of like San Fran did to us, right? It was 40 attempts for the 3-point-something average.
Consistent, yep. Mm-hmm.
And it's like you feel just miserable coming out of the game. Then you look at it like, oh, you know, just it was the attempts. It was the production on third down. It was being able to move the chains. It was being able to the time of possession. It was playing the brand of ball. When we play well, that's what we look like.
All right, last thing.
I don't know why he said that was hard.
Well, he wanted to jump in there. He was relentless on this. Colts. They are currently the number one seed in the AFC. Doesn't matter to us. But Lou Anarumo. No, you know Lou.
Yes.
DC, he was there in Cincinnati for a long time. He's taken this defense from 24 to 7th. I don't think they're as good as the Patriots, in my opinion. But, Coach, what do we have to do, speaking of the run game and offensively?
What kind of guy gives his opinion on another man's defense?
Because it's not as good. It's just not as good. What do we have to do with the offense to be successful against this Colts defense on Sunday?
We kind of just talked about it, right? We got to go out there and do what we do, right? What is the best version of us? The best version that we've seen of us is being able to run the football, you know, operating, getting down the field, being able to throw some of our passes down the field to Drake, then they'll get it opened up to Mooney.
Now, what you say, Drake, they got Sauce now. Does that mean anything?
Sauce is a very good player, you know, and, like, we love Sauce. But, like, Drake is a very good player, right? Everybody has a good player.
Are they
out
just going to go Sauce, follow five everywhere? Is it going to be
know.
That simple?
It's kind of weird because the Patriots didn't do that until Drake showed up with Gonzalez.
Right.
And then Drake showed up and Gonzalez followed him everywhere. And, you know.
Gonzalez left a game in pain.
I'm not going to brag about that. I like my matchup with five. I mean, just my barnyard bully, right? Like, he's not going to back down from the challenge. I'm not going to say he's going to win every single one, but he's not going to be afraid of it. And that's what I love about him. That's the type of stuff. And, you know, Sauce is a dog. So, like, I look forward to those guys getting together and having a nice little matchup if that presents itself.
If it presents itself.
All right. But we got to do the things that make us good.
Okay. Look, because that's where everybody's concerned. The offense, you know, everybody's focused on the offense. They want to know about the offense. And can we do what we did last week? Guys, we went 3-for-3 in the red zone last week. We got to score more points. Mm-hmm. Coach.
And there's stuff, right, we're talking about. There's things. I think I said to him last week, we got to get better in the red zone. And we did.
We did.
And then you got to get everything going and clicking. And then if you can get that done, that's how you find a way to get a win.
All right, Coach, we got to let you go because Bass
I don't want to talk to you guys
fussing. Thank you so much. Have fun. Good luck. That is Raheem Morris. Interesting stuff there, man, and there's a lot to chew on. We will do that tomorrow as we broadcast live from Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram. Chris is coming up. Turtle's got a full show tonight. Thanks to Coach Ra and thanks to Xavier Watts. If you missed that, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. Let's get out of here, Big O, and clear our throat. Thanks to all the Falcon staff up here, always taking care of us. Big O back at the studio, keeping us on track. And, of course, Data, executive producing G-Money, our on-site engineer, and Mark Zeno in from Mike. We're back at it tomorrow. Again, join us starting at 2. We'll be in Hiram. If you get a chance, you live out that way, come through. I know everybody's about 2 miles away. All right. As we finish things up tonight, Atlanta United apparently is nearing an agreement with Tata Martino. Yeah. According to people with knowledge of the situation, the deal could be completed as soon as tomorrow, and it would make Tata's return to the club. Of course, this would be his second time around. He was our manager, for those who don't know, in the inaugural season in 2017. Took us to the MLS Cup in 2018. It was magical. Now, I don't know if he can do this again, different personnel, but Tata is one of the best managers in the world. And Atlanta United has made it clear that they want to make another run with him. So it looks like this deal is going to be done and probably maybe already done by tomorrow. We will talk more about that as well. Very interesting stuff as Atlanta United continues to make changes. We'll talk more about the Braves tomorrow. We'll get you ready for a big college football weekend. Barbara Dooley stops by and our man Mike Griffith from Dog Nation. All right, we got to get out of here, Day-Day. If you love the show,
you tell a friend.
If you don't.
You think NFL coaches should cry when they lose.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life.
Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.